If you're ready to confront your destiny, if this is the moment that you've been praying for, tune in and listen to your cosmic cheerleader, Commander Lady Athena, for cosmic pep talks, for closet Christs. The show is the voice of the Ashtar Command. The call is for you to step forward into your greatness. Be listening on Wednesday. We have an appointment with destiny.
Greetings and the love of the One Divine Self. I am Commander Lady Athena, and you're listening to the voice of the Ashtar Command. This evening our topic is how to remain centered and in peace all the time. So let's take a deep breath and call yourself forward and be present and integrated in your own divinity, your own sense of centeredness and peace. It's really as simple as following your breath right down to where it anchors in the center of your chest. And then allowing that sense of self to just expand. Do you know that ever-expanding, loving peace is your real life? Think about it. Ever expanding, loving peace is your real life. So take a deep breath and with conscious intention, just expand that sense of loving, of peaceful presence that's always there. We just briefly lose track of it in the busyness of life. But it's always there, the backdrop, the substratum of our existence. And you know, you don't have to stop at the confines of your body. You can keep expanding that awareness of peace and loving. And just keep expanding. And expanding until that energy, signature of the unique divine being that you are, with that unique imprint of loving peace that constitutes your particular way of expressing that, until that energetic signature of your true self communicates to the farthermost reaches of this vast cosmos of trillions and gazillions of universes and suns and solar systems and planets. Do you know that the wavelength that you generate is ineradicable? It is forever impressing and communicating throughout space. Energy can never, ever be destroyed. And you are the very imprint of divine energy, of love and peace and expanding divine awareness, imprinted with your particular energetic signature. Because you are the uniquely begotten Son, extension, emanation of God. You will never cease to be, but you will keep expanding to include more and more and greater cosmic outreaches and creations within your own loving, your own auric field, your own, let's say, divine overseership. because everyone is in training to become a cosmic Christ, a cosmic Lord of Light, an overseer and co-creator of universes yet to be born and a future yet to be. Think you not that you did not have a hand in creating other worlds and systems, maybe even galaxies and universes? Who is to say that you've not been a logo of a sun or a planetary system? Have you any idea how vast true life is? So far beyond the temporary roles that we play in this grand drama of time and space and being and becoming, and up and down and in and out and going, and all of the frantic doings that are wrought in this little dummy doll we call a persona. This tiny little speck that contains the greatness of the great I Am. You know, when people ask you who you are, almost every one of us says, I am. But how few know the real I Am, the divine one that is the I Am I, that everyone truly is. In the dream, the I is taken to be the body. In the waking state, the I is taken to be the mind. But in the transcendental state, the I is experienced as God. So your divine self is the real I Am. And it's the losing of awareness of the I Am, that I Am I oneness, that is the cause of all peacelessness, all conflict, all war. For without peace, loving cannot be experienced. And when love is not being experienced, you have separation and fear. And without the loving, you have no center from which you can emanate as all-expansive loving and peace. So there's no expansion without awareness of the I Am I. So to earn the awareness of this I Am that is beyond duality, love alone is the path. But love, to be truly divine, must express as service. Wherever you find loving, you will find the extension in selfless giving. It's where the loving itself becomes the extension in a way that enhances all of life. So true service also arises from the practice of active holiness, living from your wholeness, which I like to describe as integrated divine awareness. So the practice of holiness constitutes a genuine spiritual path and a true spiritual exercise, because it has to be exercised. We actually do any spiritual practice to become more in tune with the divine, to become more godlike and Christlike in our expression. So ultimately, we do spiritual practice to achieve one goal, of expanding beyond the personal and reaching beyond the very horizon of being and becoming until all is I. All is experienced as the one divine. So divine expansion is your true life. I say that also imparting a very major key that I've recently been integrating myself. And so because it comes impregnated, as it were, with the energy of something that I am actually experiencing, it has the power of quickening that expansion and a greater degree of realization in those of you that are in attunement with that particular key. So realizing that one divine self beyond names and forms and all appearances, your own immortal self, is to be absorbed and centered in that sense of ever-expanding peace and love. And it is to be a witness to everything going on, delighting yourself in yourself, absorbed in that divine communion or communion, that oneness with. And it's also knowing that everything that's going on is exactly as it should be, as it needs to be in this particular moment in time. So part of this learning to how to remain centered and to maintain your peace at all times is to just be. Oh, that sounds so simple. But it takes a tremendous amount of spiritual fortitude and integrated loving to hold that space of divine witness, which doesn't mean that you sit like a bump on the log and you don't do things that are useful and of service and helpful and doing what you can to help where you can as much as you can with what you have to offer. But it is doing it without any personal agenda running. You're not doing it for name and notoriety and a pat on the back. You're not doing it for money or for any form of personal payback. You're expressing the holiness, the wholeness, and the loving that you are in ongoing self-giving. The one thing that we need to really get is that there is no resting in peace. I think that's one of the strangest things people say when people pass over to the other side, rest in peace. What nonsense! There is no such thing as rest. There is eternal, ongoing expansion, inclusion, and service forever. So it's one of those things that we need to transcend this personal ego self that only wants to engage where there is some personal benefit to be had. Because the divine life is one of eternal self-bestowal, self-giving. In fact, do you know that the soul itself is called a son of sacrifice? Why? Because it leaves the monad, the I am that I am, the unified oneness, to become individualized and to involve itself through involution into creation and densification. It sacrifices that divine ananda and bliss of oneness to come down here. Why? To awaken within the illusion, within the darkness, within the despair, the depression, the hell, to awaken within that and shine it away. Yes, to shine it away. Because when you awaken within the deepest pit of your despair, you transmute every single subatomic particle of that energetic, and you transform it into loving and peace. And that goes forth as your gift into time and space. That's why it's so important in the midst of your despair, in the midst of your personal hell, whatever that is, in the midst of your addiction or your whatever, in the midst of that, when you choose to awaken and to expand beyond it, to become larger than the situation, to break the confines of whatever seems within the illusion to bind you, to go beyond, that is your moment of greatest empowerment, your moment of greatest service. So it's always living on the edge. It's never a comfortable place. It's always pushing the envelope. It's always confronting your fear and doing it anyway. It's always confronting your weakness and doing it anyway. It's always being faced with your inadequacy and being forced to call in something greater within you to overcome, because the very nature of this earth is death. It's to pull you down. It's to keep you small. It's to keep you densified. It's to keep you heavy under the burden of Maya. It's illusion. It's not real. But it sure feels real when you're in it. That's why we have to have that courage, that power within our heart, within our center, within our innermost being, that will brook no barriers, that has so much steam built up, so much outrageous daring do, that nothing will stop you from expanding beyond anything and everything that would try to confine you and keep you small, and keeping you, in your mind anyway, from being all that you know in your heart that you can be and can do. So, the best time to practice that, beloved, is when you least feel like it. If you wait until you feel like it, it's not going to happen, because this world seems to conspire against you being all that you can be. And there's a million emissaries who will stand around you and croak all the reasons why you can't be, do, and have. So you have to face all those voices of defeat, all of those voices of disparagement and disapproval and denigration and denial to be who you are and to do what you have been called to do, which is to become a universal Christ, a universal master. And it starts with the little things. Mastering your speech, mastering your appetite, mastering your sexual drives, mastering your addictive patterns, mastering your attachments, mastering your heartache, and transcending all of that to something that is infinitely greater. Is it worth it? Oh, my heavens. How worth it to you would it be to be completely free? I'm talking about inner freedom and outer freedom, not license to engage your senses without any restraint. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about a feeling where you have unlimited bliss rising up and expanding out of you, extending through you, manifesting in your life. I don't care if you're in a hospital bed or a wheelchair or you're 90 years old or you're young and healthy and whatever, or a man or a woman or uncommitted to either or whatever. None of that matters. But who you are as a divine being can express through that expression, whatever it is, in ever-expanding divine peace and loving. That has no boundaries. There is no condition in your life that can oppress you or depress you or suppress you sufficiently that you cannot master your own heart, your own inner space of consciousness. I don't care how oppressive the regime that your karmic choice may have placed you within. Only Almighty God, the I Am, that is the I that you are, knows your heart and what's going on in your consciousness. That's why we preach with everything we do and use words only when it's necessary. Because our life is our testimony. It's our mission. It's our message. It's everything that matters. Your life is the most important life in all of existence. Only you can live it. Only you can be the you that you are, that is the I Am I. And that I principle, remember, beloved, is eternal, for it is God. So there's one divine spirit that is present everywhere at all times. The sky is God, the earth is God, and all human beings are embodiments of divinity. God alone is all that is. And this is the quintessential truth. God is present in every human being in the form of the breath. The breath of man is divine life, which is uttering with each inhalation, so, and each exhalation, hum, so, hum, I am, so, hum, which, when they merge in the unified state we call samadhi, they merge and become the sound, Om, the primordial living word of all creation. And it is to know the self that you are as that living word, to merge with that primordial sound, that is the goal of all genuine spiritual exercises. So don't just chant Om or Hu, or Anahu, or your mantras, whatever they are. Begin to merge with that mantra until you awaken within as the mantra. That's the whole message behind the Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad is God. Gita is song. So the Bhagavad Gita is you awakening as the song of God, as the divine primordial word that became flesh and dwelt upon this earth. That is who you are. And in that expression as sound, it becomes the radiance of light, which becomes the fire that precipitates into form. So your living fire, your living light, your living sound, that is who you are. Not this enchilada that you park on the couch, that you poke eatable things into its frontal orifice. It is that that looks through the eyes, that is hearing through the ears as I speak now, that is emanating as love vibration from the core essence of your innermost being that we call the heart. What is the issue of your heart? Because out of that, your life comes forth. The heart could be defined as the emotive motivator of the intention that moves you forth into any given endeavor. If the intention of your heart is Godward, the fruit of your life will be exemplified as love and peace and joy and service and expanding awareness. That's how you can tell God. You will always see this fruitfulness. And everything that is divinely fruitful is supported by all of creation. Yes. The universe supports life, not death. Death is the illusion, the central illusion from which we are destined to ultimately resurrect, finally, permanently, and eternally. That seed of resurrection was sown as potential through the life, mission, and manifestation of Jesus of Nazareth, who alone of all the masters mastered death, hell, and the grave. Literally, through the power of his Holy Spirit, transcending death, breaking that curse off of humankind. Granted, it will take a while for us to catch up with that manifestation, unless, of course, it doesn't, because we're limited only to the degree that we believe we are. But the fact that it has been done by one in perfect manifestation absolutely guarantees that every single one of us will inherit the fruit of that action. So everything that's divine is co-shared by the entirety of the collective. That's another characteristic of divine expression. You can never transcend in any divine way without transcending the whole. All of us arise a little bit more in victory, in resurrection power, in divine realization, as each one within the collective makes that their personal objective. So right now, when they're going through so many things in this grand cosmic drama that seems to be going on in the world, and I have just told you to just be, because everything just is what it is, and it's doing what it's doing, because everyone is a soul with free will, and Earth is a consciousness testing zone where everyone can have a hand at experimenting with consciousness and creation, and also reaping the effects of what they put in motion, which then unfortunately binds you to what is called the wheel of reincarnation or return, where you have to come back and reap what you have set into motion. So every one of these seminars, we release to you keys of how to live in grace, how to live above the line of karma, how to move into identifying with the impersonal self that is the non-doing doer. In other words, you do, but there's no doer present. The sense of individual personal doership dissolves in that greater expanded awareness of self. So as you keep practicing, expanding beyond the personal, expanding that sense of divine identity as the loving, all-pervasive peace of the one I am, as you practice that as a spiritual endeavor and intention, you no longer create karma. Why? Because you don't take credit for what you're doing. You know that life is happening through you. Divine action is happening through you. You are simply a conduit through which the one divine self operates for the benefit of all. So that is a major key to maintaining your center, is to realize you're just facilitating cosmic peace and cosmic loving in waves of energy that are flowing through you, but not to you. You are here to be used as a transduction device of divine doership. God alone is the one that is doing. God alone. So man is here on earth to realize this truth and live this truth as a true knower of God. And only this awareness constitutes true wisdom. It's to live such a manner that you transcend the cycle of birth and death and awaken as the dweller in every heart, as the very breath and song of God's heart. And living thus, you have merged with the divine I Am that is, and you have literally become one with God. That's the whole purpose of your life here, to awaken as the Lord, to awaken as the I Am. So, are you ready? This is the most important key that I have found, personally, in guarding and maintaining my centeredness and peace. Here it is. I stay centered in my loving. Well, experiment with it. Play with it. Dance with it. Have tea with it. Notice that when you're centered, you're in your loving. And when you're in your loving, you are centered. So, centered, loving, they go hand in hand. And where there's centeredness and there's loving expression, guess what? You have peace. So love and peace come back to back, like the two sides of a coin. And out of that, you find that you are centered. People want to be grounded. The only way you can ground your divinity on this planet, really ground it, is to extend your loving in service to others. There's no other way. Your body has to be used. Your body is a Dharma Kshetra, which means a field of divine action. Dharma is divine action. Karma is ego action. Got it? So you move from karma, the ego, to the Dharma, which is the natural behavior of a centered, divinely expressive person that's in touch with their divinity. So to be grounded and to be centered, all you need to pay attention to is to keep flowing in your loving. So loving is an action that flows from your intention in perfect harmony with God's will. And the result is peace. And peace is present when all barriers and resistance to love are removed. And when the entire intention of your life is to extend loving, your life shifts dramatically from one of being under the bondage of karmic law to freedom through grace. For it's in grace that you transcend the karmic law, and your will and God's will meet as one. So just that one single intention to stay centered in your loving opens the door to every possible miraculous possibility. You have no idea how your life will transform when you begin to live from your loving. Just don't make anything less than that an option. Okay, how to practice this in daily life. Well, first things first, where is God in your life? Where is your sense of the divine in your daily awareness? You know, ratcheting down to human consciousness, there's basically three major locations where people park God. One, far away, up in the sky, in heaven, on a throne, or in a physical body, in an avatar, someone on earth. Or some other God that we set up to idolize. Number two, religiously distance. We distance God by doctrinal beliefs of our unworthiness, our sinfulness, or whatever, whatever. We make a God in our own doctrinal, religious image, which is a form of idolatry. Or number three, the very center of your life. And to have God as the very center of your life means a 24/7 intimate personal relationship and ongoing communication with the divine presence. Is God that involved in your life? Are you that involved with God in your life? So here we can find the major place to check if we're not experiencing that divine center of love and peace in our life. Yep, you've got it. Without making God the very center of your life, you will not be aware of genuine love, and you will not have a reference point for being truly centered or at peace. So without awareness and intimacy with God, there is neither a sense of centeredness nor peace. To remain centered and at peace in today's world, you know, and at any time, the Lord simply needs to be the center of your life. And I don't mean that in a religious sense, but in the sense of ongoing intimacy, cultivating nearness and dearness with the beloved in your heart. You know, for the Lord to be the center of your life, you need to initiate the relationship. Initiate means to issue the invitation and to welcome, to invite and welcome the Lord into your life and heart center. Because the divine spirit is totally non-inflictive. Therefore, as long as you want to ego out, which means edge God out, as long as you want to do that, you're given unlimited yugas to do that. A yuga is an awfully long period of time. But when you really invite and welcome the holy presence of the Lord, right dead center in the middle of your life, in every area of your life, you're going to find a whole new life is born within you. You're truly born again of the Spirit, and your life begins brand new. And the proof that the Lord is residing in your heart is that your former stone, cold, hard-heartedness has suddenly melted into tenderness and compassion towards others. So that's the litmus test of true spiritual transformation, is that tender, compassionate heart in which the Lord is actively dwelling. And that's the place in which you lovingly, spontaneously flow through your daily life. And this is why the people of God are recognized by their love. That loving purity of heart is what you need to diligently guard in order to remain centered and at peace in this world. You can't just, you know, have it quicken within you and then go into snooze mode. You've got to, as the scriptures say, be as wise as a serpent and as gentle as a dove. So you walk with great awareness, great sensitivity, and you discern the spirit that you're not only hosting within you and following and allowing to lead you, but also the spirit that is meeting you and the people that you encounter. Recognizing there is one true spirit, which is the I Am, that is the divine, and then there is the human spirit, and then there is the ego. So you have the person who is operating purely from the human. I am Joe Blow, and I'm whatever as my occupation. To the ego, which just loves to create all kinds of separation and fearful dramas. to the divine self that is just present as the loving, and extending the peace of God. So we do learn to discern things by their nature. But if you want to know God, look to the people who are expressing the loving. They are the ones that will point the way to God. And if you're in a teaching or a path that does not highlight and lift up that loving, does not exemplify true love of God expressed as devotion, and true love of humanity expressed as selfless service, you're in the wrong path. Get out of it. It'll waste your time. So, when you're centered and at peace and flowing in your loving, you are spiritually clear. People often ask, is this clear in spirit? You know when it's clear in spirit because you never think to ask. When it's clear, it's clear. And when it's not, you better check it out. And when you are spiritually clear, you're karmically free because you're living in grace. And when you live in grace, you're living in Christ. And in Christ, there is no karma. There is no karma in Christ. Now, you can understand that two ways. You can do everything in the name of Jesus Christ. For his sake is glory, in his name, power, and authority, and you don't have karma because you have come under the blood covenant of what he purchased for you on Calvary on the cross, which is complete pardon for all your sins, past, present, and future. In other words, you become saved, all sins washed off your record. That's one way you can do it. And the other way is the more eastern path of merging into the sixth chakra, which is called the Christ chakra, which is an overlapping of the pineal and pituitary glands in the center of your skull where the consciousness principle is anchored. It's anchored in the hypothalamus, the pituitary, and the pineal glands. Those represent the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, or the Father, Mother, Son, and Holy Spirit, because God is both and neither gender. God is non-gender defined, but in time and space expresses as truth, the divine Father, and love, the divine Mother, and power, the Holy Spirit. So those three glands are the anchoring point of your life stream, your consciousness stream, and your kundalini sutratma, which is activated and quickened and integrated by your spiritual exercises and practices. So when you are centered in the soul center, sometimes called the tisratil, or the agnaya center, or the third eye, or the Christ chakra, there is no karma when you act from that center. Do you understand that? You are then in what is called soul awareness, and you don't have karma when you are operating from soul awareness. The thing of it is that soul, being a compassionate, selfless self-giver, goes right back down into the levels where it has karma in the lower expression and begins to clean up those areas that it didn't attend to before, because the soul, being perfect, always cultivates perfection. And there's no such thing as perfection in the levels beneath soul. So this is sometimes where we get trapped. Because then we come in with that savior mentality and we get attached to service. So there is a point at which you rise up into that impersonal self and you realize it's okay to just be. Everything is doing what it needs to do. Everyone is a soul having a self-selected curriculum of education that they have opted for. And they need to have the space and the honoring and the allowing to do what they need to do as long as they need to do it. You know, without, you know, causing disruption to other people. We have a place to put souls when they are disrupting other people. It's called jail and prison, incarceration. That protects the rest of us so that we too can have an arena to operate in. So if you don't obey spiritual law, then you have to obey man's law, which is the clinker, if you don't abide by the norms of the society in which you live. So there is a practicality to all of this. Now, to maintain your center, you know, the major key, I think, to maintaining centered, loving peace, are you ready for this? It is the relinquishing, sacrificing, and giving up againstness. I did a whole seminar on that. Againstness is the cult of ego. Get it? The very root of all conflict, hatred, and evil within and without is againstness. It's to set yourself up in a negative energy form against any person, place, or thing. You form that barrier, that resistance to the love that is, to the peace that is. So judging, critiquing, condemning yourself or anyone or anything, being rude, harsh, unkind, hurtful, will immediately cost you your peace and immediately toss you out of your loving center. Why? Because God is in all people. God is in all things, even if they're not aware of it and not expressing it. But your againstness is always that which separates you from your loving and your peace. Because whatever you do to the least of anyone, any of these people, or any situation, you have done it to the Lord. So your relationship is always with God. I don't care how many people come in and out of your life, your only relationship is with God. You don't have a relationship with a person's body. You don't have a relationship with a person's mind. You don't have a relationship with a person's astral body or emotions or imaginative self. You have a relationship with the divine in another. That's why you love them. Their divinity is what attracts you. Their divinity is what causes that sense of loving to flow between the two of you. Oh, then it gets all mixed in with desire and lust and attachment and possessiveness. But that's just the ego's interpretation. That's not love. That's that phony substitute that we call romance. Genuine love is where you lay your very life down, if necessary, on behalf of another, like Jesus Christ did for you. If he were the only soul on this planet, he would have gone to the cross to have purchased your salvation. That is love. And that sets the bar and standard for love for all time. And Jesus Christ also set the standard for forgiveness for all time. For he looked upon his tormentors, those who were spitting and mocking and had just beaten him to where his bones were exposed. He looked at them and said, hanging from the cross, "Forgive them, Father. They know not what they're doing." So if Jesus Christ could forgive in that instance, is there anything that we can't forgive? So those are the standards that were set forever for a truly victorious Christ-driven life, Christ-centered life. So whatever we make wrong in another, we will need to come back to some dimensional plane and work that out personally for our own karmic lesson at some point. So people who hate will reincarnate in or as the very thing they hate. That's why, you know, there's a certain choice that has to be made if we want to step free through grace, if we want to live in the higher consciousness. And, I realize that there appears to be real evildoers in this world. What about them? How do we address evil? Well, Jesus also said this very clearly. This is what we do with evildoers. Quoting him, "You overcome evil by doing good. You forgive 70 times 7, which means you forgive as many times as it takes. You pray for your enemies and those who abuse and misuse you. You pray for your enemies the very blessings you would want for your dearest beloved, that you would want for your own child. That's how you pray for your enemies. You do good to those who hate you. And thus, in doing good for evil, you heat burning coals upon their heads. In other words, you can be against the sin, but never against the sinner. So we are the heart and the hands of the Lord in this world. And we are here to lead people to love. We are here to lead people to God, to the Lord. And we are to lead all people to the freedom and grace of loving through our example. And now more than ever, we need to be people who are centered in our loving and living as radiating centers of peace. The entire stability of our future and of planet Earth in the days to years ahead truly rests upon how much loving energy we can generate and radiate now. The grid fields of collective consciousness reacts and reflects the amount and quality of energy humanity generates at any given second of the day and night. The enlightened masters, all of the avatars, say that humanity sends forth and radiates energy waves that flow throughout and affect the entire universe. So whoever you are, wherever you are, whatever your place in life, the most important thing you can do now to assure that we can pass beyond catastrophic earth changes, that we can go beyond the stratagems and plans of the many agents of the adversary that are at work in the world trying to undermine and destroy and rob and kill and maim and terrorize and intimidate, To overcome that, we need to be radiating centers of loving peace. That peace that is able to transmute and transcend and eradicate and erase all those lower energies that would keep us from moving into the destiny that has been foreordained for us, but that we must choose into to activate. We need to be active doers of the word, of the living word, and in that we need to be anything but passive. We need to be very active participants and radiating our divine nature now into the world. So it's interesting that Sai Baba has said that our radiations of love are eternally radiating in the cosmos. They can never be destroyed. He said that when you sing your sweet songs of worship and praise, and you chant the Lord's name with love and devotion, and you're singing your bhajan sincerely from your heart, you are actually energetically imprinting the universe forever. Wow. So our loving God, our loving others, is going to be ringing and singing forever throughout eternity. Maybe that's the angelic chorusing that we hear as one of the forms of the inner sound current that we hear. So what a sacred assignment to be a radiating center of peace and loving energy, vibrating throughout eternity. What could possibly be more important to be about that task? So devotion, likewise, beloved, is like a shield that protects you at all times. It's that powerful. Your voice raised in loving gratitude causes every enemy arrayed against you to stand down and depart immediately, leaving you untouched. Devotion and worship are the most powerful forms of spiritual protection and defense. Your voice of command to the elements will cause floods to lower and vanish, tornadoes to return up to the sky, storms to stop and dissipate, robbers and murderers to flee, evildoers to not be able to even see you. Your love can halt death, evil, and destruction in its very tracks, and you can stop wars and release the hand of divine and angelic intervention. You can say it. I release the hand of divine intervention here into the situation now. You name it, you call it, you claim it in the name of God. That is the power you have when you are centered in your peace and flowing in divine loving. You have the greatest power on earth in you, which is your love. So let's go out chanting on I, you. Deep breath. On I, you. On I, you. On I, you. Adonai.